Madam Chairperson, and I had to have a look in my notes because so many topics have been addressed by the different speakers, and I think it's indeed a rich debate that we're having this morning, and we are taking good notes also to share this with headquarters and our 27 member states, of course. And it's true, the EU is a very big machinery, and some might say that we move slow or too slow, but in the end, I think what matters is that we do move in the European Union, and we bring 27 countries with us when we do. And I agree that there are challenges, and some of them have been mentioned by speakers previously. One of the challenges within the EU is always what can be done at EU level and what has to be done at national level, and how do we make sure that what needs to be done at national level is also followed up. For that, we create institutions, we create working groups, we have regular reviews, but it takes an effort to make sure that there are indeed no gaps. The other challenge is a more horizontal one, and I heard that too in the speeches this morning. We have to avoid working in silos. There are links between what you do on employment, on housing, on education, and this is very much coming together also with the concept of intersectionality, which is a concept that the European Commission has entirely embraced and is actively trying to push through so that this becomes a criterion for whatever policy you are developing, that you are aware of the dimension of that policy with regard to discrimination and how to fight discrimination. When we discuss intersectionality, very often here in Geneva, this is still a concept that is being put into question by a number of states. And that is something that we very much regret. We had negotiations over the past 5 weeks over a number of racism-related resolutions. And then this is a point that always comes back. For us, this is clear-cut a necessity when you develop discrimination policies that you take the intersectionality into account. Just to explain a little bit, the way we try to make progress on this is first and foremost by data gathering. And it's been mentioned before, we have the Fundamental Rights Agency within the European Union. They do regular surveys, and one of the most known ones was the one entitled Being Black in the European Union, which is a study from 2018. And if I understand it correctly, there will be an update coming out quite soon of this study. But of course, the Fundamental Rights Agency also does surveys on a number of other important topics, such as, for example, minorities in the European Union, the plight of Roma people in the European Union, which is a big thing as well. There are surveys on discrimination against Muslims, on anti-Semitism. So we try to cover a lot of ground here, which is also reflected in the DDPA as a document in itself. The legal framework that we build up has a number of hard law rules, and furthermore, a number of policies as well. I'm not going to name them all. The EU Anti-Racism Action Plan 2020-2025 has been mentioned before, but we also have specific policies and strategies. Again, for example, the one on Roma people is worth mentioning in this regard. And of course, we organize judicial review. And I think that is one of the key pieces of the puzzle, that you have judicial review, because the challenge, what I mentioned in the opening statement also on Monday, is that we are aware that there is still a need to convert the norms of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights into reality on some of these matters, for sure. Just to come back to something that was mentioned previously in one of the statements, which has to do with the importance of history. And we've said it before, the European Union is steadfast in its commitment to address the negative impact of the legacies of colonialism. And we believe that discussing and addressing the issue of colonialism in all its forms is indeed important, because when you combat racism and racial discrimination, it also means that you acknowledge and address the legacy of past transgressions. Many countries suffer from historical inequities, and this continues to cast shadows over the present days. Some EU member states have officially recognized slave trade and slavery as a crime against humanity through legislation. And in general, we believe that conversations about the past, when they are conducted in a constructive manner, can indeed open doors and help us find ways to grasp with these past injustices, in a sense that it can provide opportunities to pay tribute and to reflect on the sacrifices and on the loss. But this is an ongoing conversation that we need to have. And the difficulty that we also sometimes have in discussions here at the UN is that we need to find solutions that kind of work globally in what we agree. And of course, I think there's some more work to do there, including in the framework of the draft declaration. And I think for now, I will leave it at that.